The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can just anyone do miracle in Jesus' name? If we say, in the name of Jesus, does that bind Jesus to do what we are saying? Let's talk about it today on Grace in Focus. Thank you for being with us and welcome today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. To find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society, please go to our website, faithalone.org. There is a lot of information there under different categories, and you can also listen to our YouTube videos on the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. These happen a couple of times a week, and we invite you to watch. But once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Welcome once again to Grace in Focus. I'm here with the most holy right reverend, Bob Wilkin.
And I'm with the most holy right reverend, David R. Renfro.
And don't you dare forget that.
Okay? However, if we were in Scotland, it'd be Renfrew.
Renfrew, yeah. There's a suburb of Glasgow named Renfrew. We have a very interesting question here that we want to go over in this session. It's from a guy named Isaiah.
Which is fitting since you're an Old Testament guy.
Yeah, shalom to you
shalom,
too.
Shalom, shalom. Shalom, y'all.
Believe it or not, there are t-shirts in Jerusalem that say that. I saw them when we were in Jerusalem. Isaiah has an interesting concept here. He goes into a kind of a lot of detail, but the gist of his question is, can an unbeliever perform miracles such as casting out demons in the name of Christ?
Okay, that's a good question. Can an unbeliever do miracles in the name of Jesus, like casting out demons, like healing the sick?
Right.
Okay, and I think Isaiah uses the example of Judas.
He uses Judas. In fact, he does this kind of logical thing. You know, he says, if you say unbelievers cannot cast out demons and do miracles in Jesus' name, then Judas Iscariot could not cast out demons and do miracles in Jesus' name, because Judas Iscariot is an unbeliever.
John 6:64 specifically says that.
And so when the 12 disciples were sent out by Jesus into the other parts of Israel, he equipped them, but Judas never was a believer. So did he, when he was on that trip with the other disciples, did he cast out a demon?
And he also sent out, he had 70 disciples that he sent out on another occasion.
That's right.
And remember Luke 10:20, they came back rejoicing that even the demons were subject to them. And he says, don't rejoice the demons are subject, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, he was not saying that to include Judas, because Judas was the betrayer, Judas was the unbeliever. But the truth is, Judas was one of those sent out.
Right.
And so the question is, when Judas was sent out, did he heal the sick? Did he cast out demons? He was certainly part of a team that did that. In many cases, they went out two by two, and possibly there were cases where they were by themselves. But either way, it would seem inconceivable to me that Judas wasn't able to do that, because if he wasn't, wouldn't the other disciples know Judas is an unbeliever?
I think you're right. And another thing came to my mind about this, too. This was a special equipping for this particular journey.
Right.
And that doesn't mean it was permanent.
Right.
They were equipped for a special occasion, meaning this going from village to village. And it could be that Judas, you know, it's not specifically said in the text, but Judas was equipped for that particular job that Jesus commissioned all 12 disciples to do.
Right. I think part of what Isaiah is asking about is Matthew 7:21-23, which comes up a lot on this show, where at the great white throne judgment, people are going to say, but Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't
right.
we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many wonders in your name? And what's repeated there is in your name. I don't think we can think these are Buddhists or Hindus or atheists. These are people from within Christianity who are claiming to do these things in Jesus' name. Now, hypothetically, this could be before Christianity, like the time of the apostles before the birth of the church, like Judas dies before the birth of the church
right.
when he commits suicide. So you could say, well, there were no Christians then because people weren't actually called Christians until the church was born. Mm-hmm. And then they were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11:26, mm-hmm. by unbelievers, by the way. Christians probably means something like little Christ, probably a derogatory term originally.
Yeah.
But in any regard, could an unbeliever do it? And I would say there's no reason to suggest that an unbeliever couldn't do miracles, casting out demons, healing the sick, if God wanted him to.
Right.
If God wanted to empower Judas to do these things, why couldn't he? At the great white throne judgment, when people say, Lord, didn't we do this, this, and this, there's two possibilities. One possibility is they did this, this, and this, but they were never born again, mm-hmm. so that's not going to get them into the kingdom. The other possibility is they thought they did this, this, and this, but they didn't actually.
Right.
It was just like much of the things we see today where people claim to be raising the dead and healing the sick and speaking in tongues and all these things.
Right.
And yet the evidence suggests that all of that is a show or self-deceived people who think they're doing these things, but they're not actually doing these things. But is it possible that an unbeliever could do these things? And my answer would be yes.
I think so, too.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
Is it possible that an unbeliever could do these things? And my answer would be yes.
I think so, too. The other thing that scares me, because I just doing some study about some of the people that are, you know, famous preachers today, you
right.
know, especially the more charismatic ones and
right.
all that. I get the idea that they use the phrase in Jesus' name as a magic formula.
Yeah.
Like all I have to do is say in Jesus' name, God's got to do what I want him to do.
Yeah, you're almost binding God.
Yeah, and that's about as heretical as it can be.
Well, don't they call that name it, claim it?
Sure.
You name it, you claim it.
Right. And that has to do with even, you know, casting out demons. In Jesus' name, go away kind of thing. And God's got to do that. And the demon has to obey.
Yeah, you're doing the voice of Ernest Angsley.
Ernest Angsley.
And he would say, for people who are deaf, say, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it just, I think some of these TV preachers and some of those guys use that phrase as a magic formula, like somebody in the occult would repeat the same phrase to appease the gods or goddesses or whatever.
Well, we all need to be careful of that, right?
We do.
We don't just tag in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers because it has some magic power.
I think 99% of the people that use the phrase in Jesus' name, Christian especially, have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
I think they think that if they use that phrase, God is obligated to do what they ask him to do.
Yeah, and that's not true. What it is we're saying we're praying in light of Jesus' nature, his character,
right.
and in light of his shed blood.
Right.
So we're praying in him, but we don't have to say those words. I mean, we can just say amen, or
right.
we can just end our prayer. Those words are fine, but nowhere are we commanded in the New Testament that every time we pray, we need to say those words.
No.
By the way, I think the opposite of Isaiah's question is also true. It's possible that a believer could think they were doing these things, a person who's actually born again, yet they're not doing them.
Right.
So the opposite is also true.
I
think
agree.
That happens today. Of course, I think a lot of the people in the name it, claim it movement have never believed, or maybe believed in the past, but don't believe today because
they add other stuff to their beliefs.
Almost, you know, everybody in the charismatic Pentecostal movement believe in justification by faith plus works,
mm-hmm.
or faith that works.
Mm-hmm.
And they're believing in some form of work salvation or lordship salvation. Now, maybe they were born again at some point in the past.
Could be.
But you hear these preachers today, and it's not just that they're wrong in their praxis, in what they do. They're also wrong in what they teach about what you need to do to be born again.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's incredible. It's an interesting question, and it has a lot of, like we just went over, a lot of implications.
Yeah, it really does. Well, I have a question that I think we can do in the last few minutes we have. It's from Guy, or if you're a Canadian, Guy.
Guy.
He says, are there two gifts of salvation? He says, number one, imputed righteousness. Number two, eternal life. Are they independent or synergistic? Well, synergistic is things which work together.
Together, yeah.
And I would say, look, these are independent, but they do work together. Mm. They're both. It's both and.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis Berry Chafer, the founder of the seminary we went to, he used to say there are 33 things that the believer gets at the moment we believe in mm-hmm. Christ. Well, these are two of them. Imputed righteousness is typically called what in theology when we say, okay, he has imputed righteousness?
Imputed righteousness.
Good, very good.
I thought I'd clear that up for
yeah,
you.
That's why you have to go to seminary to get this. No, it's justification.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you for playing. We have a nice parting gift for you. And eternal life is called what?
Everlasting life.
Oh! We have another nice parting gift. No, the theological name for everlasting life is
regeneration.
Okay, now we're with it here. But Lewis Berry Chafer said we're also made citizens of heaven, right? We're also indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We're also sealed by the Holy Spirit so that we are eternally secure. We're also given a spiritual gift, or some people would say gifts, plural. And there's 33 of these things that occur at the moment.
I think he's right about that. We get so many things at the moment of salvation.
And we have access to the throne of God at that moment. So, yes, we are imputed righteous mm-hmm. at the moment of faith. We're also given everlasting life at the moment of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many other things we're given. We're also children of God, right? John 1:12.
Right.
He gave the right to become children of God. So it's important to recognize all of the wonderful things God gives us and are ours, whether we're walking in the light or not.
Right.
But all of these things should motivate us to walk in the light of God's word.
Absolutely.
Make us want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant.
I can't think of a better motivation. Those 33 things should be enough for us to live a faithful life.
And if you want to know what those 30 things are, look it up online, because I can't remember all.
We're getting too old to remember all those things.
In seminary, I probably could have given you 20, but right now I can't remember a bunch of them.
No, they're written down somewhere.
They are. All right, well, remember to keep grace
in
focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On the next episode, what is monasticism? Please join us, and until then, keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.